We're excited to start this series, Christmas at the Movies. In this series, we're allowing Christmas movies to be more than just entertainment. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks allowing them to show us the true meaning of Christmas, allowing them to connect us with the true themes of what Christmas is. And as we say every time we do a series like this, just because we show the movies, we're not suggesting that you should go out and rent the movies, because you need to do your own research to see if they're appropriate for you and your convictions and your family. We know that they still have great meaning. Today we're looking at a fun movie. It's called Elf. There are many themes that we could look at. I think one of the biggest themes in Elf is joy. And as we look at joy, joy is one of those qualities that you probably don't miss until you realize it's not there. Joy is one of those qualities that usually we don't recognize that it is absent until somebody tells us that we're grumpy or grouchy, and then we recognize it's not there. Or maybe you actually feel like you're in a funk. And if you've ever felt that way, you feel like, man, you know what? I'm just not joyful, and I don't know why. And it's kind of out of this funk that we experience, and we recognize there's an absence of joy, because most of us can get just so busy in life that we actually miss the idea that we're even lacking in joy. In the book of Galatians, Paul, he asks a very penetrating question of the church in Galatia. He asks this great question that probably we should ask ourselves too, and that's this: what happened to all of your joy? It's a very simple question. But see, this is a human condition that we all tend to miss at times. Life can rob us of joy, and circumstances can rob us. They can distract us if we allow them to. When Paul asks the question, it's as if to say something's missing, something that used to be present in your life is no longer present in your life. I think because of Christ, and I know because of Christ, and because of Christmas, we should be full of joy. When you watch the movie Elf, Buddy the Elf, he doesn't have to try to be joyful. He doesn't have to put on a mask to be joyful. It's just who he is. It just flows naturally from him. He captures the Christmas spirit because he enjoys life in every aspect. Now, if you've lived under a rock or something and you've never seen the movie, let me set it up for you really quick. On one of Santa's Christmas trips, he stops to drop off gifts at an orphanage. And while Santa's eating the cookies and drinking the milk, one of the baby orphans climbs out of his crib and into Santa's bag. And it wasn't discovered until Santa returns to the North Pole, and that's where the story begins. The Code of the Elves is more than just an important lesson that they had to learn in school. It was a code of conduct that defined who they were, actually. It was a code that ensured that Christmas cheer was a daily experience for everyone in the North Pole. Now we just addressed this issue not too long ago in a recent series where we talked about why we do what we do as a church. And when we understand and embrace what is important, our behavior reflects that. It's the very same principle that they were doing here. We need a structure for joy in our lives. And the elves' code of conduct was their structure. And that can be a great starting point for us. So the code of Christmas joy for the elves, their code was treat every day like Christmas. And I think another way of saying it for us is Christmas is not designed to be an annual holiday, but a daily celebration. Christmas is not designed to be an annual holiday. It was designed to be a daily celebration. See, when Christmas is a holiday, it's all about the presents that we get once a year. But when Christmas is a daily celebration, it happens because we do life with God's presence. It has nothing to do with the gifts or the presents under the tree. It has everything to do with God's presence in our life. Nurturing joy is developing this relationship that we get to have with Jesus. That's where joy actually comes from. If we want joy in our lives, real joy, then we will experience joy when we bring God into our daily lives. That's the bottom line. If you want real joy in your life, there is no equation, there is no system that makes it work. It comes out of experiencing Jesus in your life every day, not just once a year. This is when we rely on God's strength that we experience this joy that we have in our lives. Psalms 28 tells us this, and you've heard the scripture, "But the Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all of my heart. He helps me." And then what happens? because if we trust him, then our hearts are filled with joy. It comes out of that personal experience of trusting him. Another code of ethics that the elves had, and it was this: there's always room on the nice list. And I think another way of saying that for us to experience joy is this: we will always look at others with love. We always look at others with love. If you want to experience joy in your life, real joy, it happens when you look at others with love. It's a great Christmas perspective that God can change any one of us. No matter how hopeless we might seem, or no matter how hopeless others might seem, God can change every life. That is the Christmas message. And because of that, we always choose to see the best in others. Because when we love others, it nurtures joy in us. Because we live anticipating and appreciating the lives of other people. We can't live with joy if we're critical and judgmental of others. Because love chooses to see the best in others. Love always has hope for others. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. If you want joy in your life, real joy, then we experience joy when we choose to love others. You want to have real lasting joy? Love other people and you will experience that joy. Another part of the code of ethics for the elves was the best way to spend Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And I would say that another way of saying that is this: the joy of Christmas is contagious only when we share it. That's the only way Christmas is ever. The joy of Christmas is not contagious unless you and I are the ones that are sharing it. That's what the shepherds did. When they experienced this message of what Jesus was coming to do, and that the Messiah was actually coming to be born in this town, it says this: when they, the shepherds, had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed with the shepherds, what the shepherds said to them. Joy naturally seeks to include others, to share, to give the hope that we have to other people. It's when we share the hope in our hearts that we actually nurture joy within us, because we are nurturing this optimistic perspective. So if you want to have real joy, we experience joy when we choose to share who is in our heart. Not just what is in our heart, but who is in our heart. Joy is a heart issue. It has nothing to do with circumstances. I mean, there is a big difference between happiness and joy, as you know. Happiness is based on the conditions around us. Happiness is always based on the conditions that are around us. But joy is a byproduct of God within us. It's a totally different perspective, totally different experience. Galatians 5 reminds us, and you know the scripture, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and that is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. If you want real and lasting joy during the holidays, during Christmas, it is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit producing that in you. It's not just something that we will to happen or something that we choose to happen. So Buddy discovered that he didn't fit in at the North Pole. He discovered that he was different than the other elves. And so his true identity was explained to him, and which resulted in a whole new direction for his life. His new life direction was to discover a relationship with his biological father. It was this attempt to fill a void that he had. And to experience God's joy in our lives, we have to experience relationship with him. In fact, the point that you might write down on your notes is joy is discovered in relationship with your heavenly father. Like Buddy was looking for a relationship with his biological father, real joy is experienced in relationship with our heavenly father. And a lot of people spend their lives searching for something to fill them with meaning, or they search for people that will complete them. Leon tells Buddy that this might be the golden ticket to find out who Buddy really is. And I think those are profound words for us as well. See, Christmas is this golden opportunity to find out who you really are and whose you really are. And who you are is discovered in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Psalm 16 says that you, God, leads us in the path of life. He says, and I experience absolute joy in your presence. You always give me sheer delight. So in this series, I'm going to give you, like, through different times in the talk, I'm going to give you some definitions of what it means to really understand joy so that we can all be on the same page with this. And this is the first definition that you might want to write down. Joy is the positive optimism that the Holy Spirit produces in us. It changes our perspective and allows us to anticipate and experience God's activity in our lives. It is a positive optimism. You were designed to live in relationship with God. And when you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And God, again, produces this joy that we need. It changes how we perceive obstacles that we face. It changes how we perceive people in our lives. Joy actually gives us the vision of hope. And that's an important aspect, that joy is giving us a vision of hope in bad circumstances, in difficult circumstances with people as well. So with difficulty and uncertainty ahead of him, Buddy ventures off with hope in search for his dad. In the movie, Buddy is full of hope and optimism. He travels through dangerous terrain to this mystical land called New York City in search of his father. And in facing uncertainties and disappointments, Buddy gives us an important lesson about joy that I think we need to understand if we're going to experience joy, and that's this: life doesn't have to be perfect to experience joy. I think most people look for the perfect circumstances to kind of line up, and then they can be joyful. In James, we're reminded this way. It says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When troubles come, not when everything lines up, not when everything's perfect, not when all this stuff is just the way that we want it. It's when troubles come, it is an opportunity for great joy. Because what it does is we know that when our faith is tested, that our endurance has a chance to grow. And so we're to let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing absolutely nothing. Joy isn't dependent on our circumstances. In the Christmas story, the very young Mary and Joseph faced circumstances that were not the best. First of all, they were unmarried with a child. They were traveling a long distance while she was pregnant. They were delivering the baby in an animal trough, food trough. And yet in that, Mary still responds this way. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. See, when things are not perfect, I think it's a great opportunity, it's a great time to experience joy, because those are the times that we really hang on to God, we really hold on to God. Sometimes I think that it takes difficulties for us to hold on intentionally to a God who is good and who loves us. Buddy finds himself employed, not that he sought it out, but he finds himself employed as an elf at a big toy store. And another thing that Buddy teaches us about joy is that joy is an anticipated experience. When you have a loving, trusting relationship with someone, when you have a history with someone that you love, there's a depth to that relationship. And again, fill in on your notes, joy comes from knowing God. There is no joy in knowing about God. Joy is experienced in knowing and trusting him personally. And the longer that you know God, the more joy that you experience, because God has helped you in the past, because God has shown himself to be faithful during difficult times, that God has shown himself to be present with you even in good times. Another one of those definitions that I want us to look at, and that's this: joy is a hopeful confidence that we have from knowing and trusting God regardless of our circumstances. Joy gives you confidence in God. It gives you confidence in life. It gives you the ability to see beyond the present moment. As difficult as the present moment might be, or whatever the present moment might be lacking, it gives you a perspective that is larger than what is existing at the moment. It reminds you that God is faithful, that he is present, that he is good, that he is active in your life, even when circumstances don't reflect that. Let me just read a few scriptures that kind of speak to this issue. First one in 1 Peter 1, it says, you love him, speaking of God, you love him, even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him now. You trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You don't have to see God to experience joy. We experience him because we know him. Psalm 16 says, I'm always thinking of the Lord, and because he is so near, I never need to stumble or fall. Heart, body, and soul are filled with joy. Romans 14, God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sakes. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, and he puts it together and completes it with joy. And that's God's activity again. And what that does is it gives us confidence, and that confidence results in joy. So we have to, hopefully you are experiencing a deeper level of confidence in your life just because you know that God is faithful, and you're reminded and you're allowed to see beyond the present moment in your life. Buddy knows Santa really well. He knows him personally, so he's not fooled by an imposter because he knows the real thing. There are many imposters that claim to bring us joy in life. I'm telling you, and you know the imposters, they're things like money and success and sex and careers and people and substance. We don't need to be fooled by imposters. You can write this down. You can have joy because God is with you. Every part of your life, God wants to be present. In every part of your life, God wants to give you and your life meaning. In every part of your life, God wants to help you. God wants to give you strength. And that brings us to another one of the definitions that we're looking at. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail of your life. The confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things. A settled assurance. It's like a rest, if you will. It removes the tension, it removes the anxiety, it removes all of the things that rob us of joy. It removes all the imposters because we have this assurance that God is in control of everything in our life. First of all, when we ask God to be in control of our lives, when we choose to live to please him, God will be in control of everything that you allow him to be in control of. He knows every need that you have, especially your greatest need. And your greatest need, lest you forget, is your need of a Savior. God promised to send his Son. Jesus was that promised Savior that was to bring everyone great joy. Let me read it for you. It says, that night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby watching the sheep. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shining around them. And they became very frightened, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that will be great joy to all people. Today, your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ the Lord. Listen, when we're aware of our needs or the needs that we have in our lives, we experience joy in how God meets those needs. That God is aware of the needs in our life. The deepest and strongest joy you can have is spiritual. In fact, the last fill-in on your notes is this. Your joy is tied to your Savior, whoever that Savior might be. Having a personal Savior to many people is like getting underwear on Christmas. It's the gift we may need, but it's not necessarily the gift that we want, right? Each one of us needs a personal Savior, whether we realize it or not. And Jesus came to be personal with you. He came to be your personal Savior. That's what that last part of the scripture we just read said. It says, today, your Savior, not somebody else's, your personal Savior, was born in the town of David. That's what we celebrate. And I'm telling you, the greatness of your joy reflects the greatness of your Savior. Because Jesus is your rescuer. He is your liberator. He is your redeemer. And he is your friend. In the weakness of life, in the absence of things going your way, Nehemiah reminds us that the joy of the Lord is your strength because God is present with you. How do we respond to this? How do you respond personally? How do you respond personally to your need of a Savior, a personal Savior? You open your heart. You learn to accept and trust Him. You can have joy in your life because God is with you. Not just from an idealistic standpoint, not just from an awareness like I know that God might be or is with me because Dave said it, but you can know that God is with you because you know that God is with you personally. You know it. There's a confidence that you have, an assurance you have. The joy is discovered in your relationship with God, and the strength of your joy is tied to the strength of that relationship. And I just don't want you to miss that this Christmas. My prayer is that you would know your Savior intimately, that you would know Him personally, that your life doesn't have to be perfect to experience the joy that He brings. But because we bring God into our daily lives and we trust Him, that we can have this absolute assurance that God is in complete control of everything that's going on in our lives, whether we like it or whether we don't like it. That God can turn all things for our good. If I could just pray for you and pray with you this morning. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, man, this would be the Christmas to do it. This would be the Christmas to start it. And not just to start it, but to invest in it, to really trust Him. And if you have that relationship, maybe this is a year to bring God into your daily experience, not just bringing God, like saying my prayers as fast as I can or doing a Bible study on an app as quick as I can because I don't have time, but really invest in that. To learn to trust God with the difficulties of life. When things happen that we don't like or things happen that we don't understand, that we absolutely know that God is in control and He's with us. And that brings you a confidence and assurance that you don't have to worry about anything. Father, we come to You today just with open hearts. Some hearts are open and they are looking for a relationship with You for the very first time, and You hear their conversation, You hear their words, You know them intimately. Father, I pray that as they open up their heart and surrender their lives to You, that, Father, today that You would begin to establish a relationship that would bring them joy. Father, that that relationship in all of our lives would be a marker of joy for us. That we would not have worry and anxiety, but Father, we would have confidence and assurance that You're in charge and You're in control, that You work all things for our good. Father, that You have given to us a personal Savior to meet the deepest needs of our lives. And Father, today I just ask that each one of us would experience Your joy and Your strength in this holiday season. That Christmas is more than a daily or an annual event, but beginning this year, that Christmas would be a daily celebration of our Savior, who we do life with every single day. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.